Welcome to Mount Olive First Pentecostal Holiness Church. Thank you for connecting with us. Our desire at MOF PHC is for you and your family to find hope in Jesus Christ so that He will transform your life. Thanks again for connecting with us. Please contact us if we can help you discover God's purpose for your life. Enjoy the message.
We started a series called Anchor. Okay, the whole principle behind this is we're coming from a scripture out of Hebrews 6, 19 and 20. It says in that scripture, "This hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. It leads us through the curtain into God's inner sanctuary. Jesus has already gone there for us. He has become our eternal high priest in the order of Melchizedek." Okay, the whole purpose of our series today of Anchored is to emphasize the fact that we need to be able to maintain our relationship with the Lord. We need to stay close to Him in this very, for lack of a better word, tumultuous times. We are all experiencing different aspects of it. Some are experiencing loss. Some are dealing with job issues. Some are just, Lord, spending too much time on Facebook. Okay, there are things that could pull us away if we're not careful. So we have to ensure that we are remaining anchored to Him. Now, if I could just briefly recap, the first week, Pastor emphasized the fact that we need to remain anchored in fellowship with Jesus. Okay, in fellowship with Him, that means we need to stay close to Him, stay in our relationship with Him, maintaining that and strengthening that, because He is our salvation. He has set us free, and He gives us stability in our day-to-day life, that we can lean on Him no matter what we're experiencing, that He will be our help. Last week, we emphasize the fact that we need to be anchored in biblical truth. Okay, in order to stay on the straight and narrow, in order to make sure that we are staying in what God wants us to do in this age of constant information, or whoever you're talking to, maybe disinformation, in order to make sure that we're staying where we're supposed to stay and not being swayed by what we hear from this person or this site or that site, we need to make sure that we are staying in His Word, because it is not just a book. Okay, this is a book that is a perfect word from God that was inspired by God and given to us. And it now, all of it, again, the most important part of every aspect of Scripture, everything in there points us to Jesus and our need for Him. Amen. Okay, that's where we're picking up. We need to stay anchored to the Lord. We need to stay anchored into His Word. And today we're going to build off that, because if we're going to be true Christians, true followers of Jesus, if we're going to actually do what the Word says, okay, let me emphasize that again. If we're actually going to do what it says, then we have to be anchored into the Great Commission. Okay, this is not something that is just a if you want to type of situation. This is something that we are supposed to be doing. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew 28. We're going to pick up in verse 16. All right. It says in verse 16, "Then the 11 disciples left for Galilee, going to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw Him, they worshiped Him, but some of them doubted. But Jesus came and told His disciples, 'I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this: I am with you always, even to the end of the age.'" So if we could, we're just going to take a little bit of time, but we're going to break down those four verses. I'm not quite as eloquent as Pastor Jeff. I can't do the alliteration. That man can make up 4 points in three seconds, and all of them have the same letter. It drives me insane. You should be in a staff meeting. He can do it in a staff meeting, like off the top of his head. It's wild. I can't do it, but we're going to work with it, okay? If you will, verse 16. If you'll go back to verse 16 for a second, I'm sorry. If you start off there by seeing that they have an obedient heart. Jesus has been working with them, talking with them, leading with them, and He told them to go here, go to this place, go to the mountain. And they were going. You know, it says some of them doubted. That's okay. It's okay to have doubts at points, but if you're still willing to follow Him and ask Him and ask Him for clarification, I will tell you that I've read the Bible several times all the way through. I still don't get it all. I'm just telling you honestly, I was listening to it this morning. The Old Testament, still so strange to me. When you got to put your hand under your thigh to make a promise, that's weird, okay? But God knows why, okay? But even if you don't fully understand, it doesn't mean that we shouldn't be obedient. We don't have to have all the answers to say, yes, Lord, I'll follow you. Okay, that's what it means to have faith. Okay, so these men decided that even if some of us doubt, even if we don't fully understand, if we don't have all the directions of what we have to do, I'm still going to go there and see what you've got for me. They still moved. And I pray that we as a church would have a heart like that. That we would be willing to move, even if we don't understand the full directions of how we're supposed to get there, even if we don't fully understand what the destination looks like on this side of heaven, that does not mean that we should not move, that we should not go. Verse 18, Jesus lays out his authority as our Lord, our teacher, and then he proceeds to give them their marching orders. So for me, I got to break it down in simple words. It says, first of all, to go. It told them to go. These are, I hope you pick up on these action words that are listed here in some of these verses. He told them to go. As we are walking with the Lord, our relationship with the Lord should never be completely sedentary. We should never just sit and listen. There are times where we are supposed to be still and know that He is God. Yes, we are supposed to trust Him and allow Him to move and operate. But there are times where we are supposed to, our faith is supposed to require us to get up and to move. To follow God, truly following God, will get you moving outside of your comfort zone. Because if we only ever stay right here in our box where we're happy, where we're comfortable, then we're probably not living out the word that he has given, because the word that he has given requires us to go. So I don't get me wrong, I am very thankful that you are all here today. I'm thankful this room is nearly full. I'm thankful people are watching online. I think it is very important that we come together inside these church walls. Scripture says to not forsake the fellowship, that we're supposed to be uplifting each other, encouraging each other, taking time to worship as we just did, taking time to pray, to dive into the word, to minister to each other, because sometimes we need to be here. Because we've had a tough week. We've got tough things going on. So I need to get to church so somebody can pray for me and uplift me. I think right now of how much I miss seeing Mama T. Because Mama T would be one that no matter what she's dealing with, no matter how tough it was on her physically or whatever's going on, she would grab a hold of you, hug you, and pray for you. And it would just change your day. It is important that we do come together to minister to each other, to uplift each other. But what we receive in ourselves, what we're uplifted to do, is not to stay inside these walls, but it is to go. Okay, so you'll have to forgive me. I understand. I've read a book called Leading from the Second Chair, and in that book it describes to you the fact that you have to understand that you see the world from a certain perspective. Okay, you have to understand that you're seeing the world from a certain color of glasses at all time. So when I tell you that when I see things, when I'm trying to do things, I'm leading from a point as the youth and outreach pastor. Okay, ministering to teenagers is my absolute passion. It's what I love to do. I love to aggravate the mess out of them. And any one of them have been here for a long time, Holden will tell you. Okay, so the part of doing youth ministry, we go to training and we deal with things and we try to learn how to minister better, because I'll just be honest with you, how it was growing up for me is nothing compared to what they're dealing with today. So we have to learn and we have to continue to dive into the word and how to try to counteract what the enemy is trying to do. There was a training that we received a while back. And in this training, he told us that we would be foolish, to just assume teenagers will show up on Sunday nights or Wednesday nights. It would be just foolish to assume that just because we're unlocking the doors and turning on the lights that teenagers will walk through the door. No, nowadays, students have so many options. Students have so many options, whether it's sports, work, relationships. They have so many different ways to go out and have fun. Even in a small town, they can figure out ways to have fun. Some of it not all good. Okay? I asked another youth pastor the other day because I was trying to figure out, growing up, I grew up in Jacksonville, which Jason told me that shows why I'm crazy. I grew up in Jacksonville, and if you weren't at the movie theater on the weekend, you were probably hanging out the mall or something like that. Well, there's not a whole lot of that here in Mount Olive, so I tried to ask teenagers one day, I'm like, where are you at when it's not Sunday night? Because like, I want to go there, I want to meet your friends, I want to hang out, I want to try to take Jesus to you. And every time I ask, where are teenagers hanging out, I always get, from teenagers. But I asked another youth pastor, I'm like, where are your kids hanging out? And he honestly said, they're not hanging out anywhere. They have phones now. They don't have to go anywhere. Everything they have is given to them. So it's crazy for me to just expect teenagers to show up when they have everything that they want. No, we have to build relationships with them. So we have to go there. So God bless Chloe De Hoyos, but I irritate her all the time about, hey, you want to set up a prayer circle so I can go to your school and hang out at lunch and pray with your friends and stuff like that? You want to set that up for me? Come on. Trust in you. Need you. Because I have to go to where they are, because if I don't go to where they are, we'll never see them inside this building. And if I never get to see them inside this building, then I'll never get to do what we're going to talk about in a few minutes, which is to disciple and minister to them. So we're not supposed to stay here and just expect that people will show up. We're supposed to be an outreach church. I don't know if you've met Pastor Jeff Dale, but Pastor Jeff Dale is an outreach pastor. I know I carry the title, but that man carries the heart. Okay, his whole heart and desire, his whole passion is to reach the lost, to minister to them. If you know anything about our vision, mission and vision, it says to seek the lost, serve the suffering, and share life together as we grow spiritually. That is our whole emphasis here, is to be an outreach church, to minister to those who are inside of our building, but also those who are outside of our building. Not so we can get the big name in town, that we can be the big church. That is not our goal, is to look good and make all the other churches look bad. That's petty. We don't do that. Our goal is to get out there into the community, to give them Jesus, to change lives. We have many different ways that we attempt to do that. I will tell you, next month on Valentine's Day, again, shameless plug, you gave me the microphone, good luck. Next month on Valentine's Day, we are going to do what we call Love Mount Olive, where we do a very simple outreach. We're going to go to like Bernie's or Krispy Kreme and buy out the store, bring it back, bring it into the church. We're going to tape the gospel message onto the top of that box. We're going to pray over it while it's sitting there on the table. We're going to pray that this is not just a sweet treat going out the door, but that actually the person who is getting this may be experiencing a rough day. And that this message on top of this box, as well as the sweet treat inside, that they will minister to them. It's going to be handed to them by a person with a smiling face. Okay? All right, cool. We're asking if you would like to come help us out with that. This is an opportunity where we just go to businesses. It's not a drawn-out thing. We walk in and tell you, hey, happy Valentine's Day. God loves you. Have a good one. We're praying for you, and you're out the door. Now, we do ask you to take a picture because we like to do that, okay? We have another one coming up after that. We have the egg hunt coming up in April. My Lord, we're going to give out 800 bags of candy that day. There's no telling how many people will actually show up that day in the park. We're going to try to give them the gospel message, not only in the bag, but also present it to them that day. We have an opportunity to minister. We have the pickle festival coming up right after, like 2 weeks later after the egg hunt. These are all, I could go on and on and on about the different ways that we are trying to be an outreach church, but none of these are for the reason to just make us look good. The reason is to take the gospel message outside of these walls and put it into their hands. We cannot force them to accept it, but we cannot be so foolish as to just assume that they'll get it if no one is taking it to them. Scripture says that how will they hear it if no one goes and tells them? So we're supposed to get out there and actually minister to them. We were given access to a report a couple years ago. It's probably been 4 or 5 years ago from the conference. And we've talked about this many times. But in that report, a very simple report told us that within 5 miles of this church, we have 3,000 unchurched people. that I don't know what that number would be today. Simple question to you. Are there 3,000 people in this room? No, because we couldn't hold it. Praise God, one day we'll figure it out. We're going to build a building. It's going to be good. Okay? But we don't have 3,000 people inside of this building at the moment. So that means that there is work to do. That means we have to get up and to go and to reach them. We can't fit 3,000 people in here, but I sure would like to try. We would sure like to be willing to get up and go and minister to them. If you actually read Scripture, Jesus did go to the temple. He did go to church. But Jesus did not stay there. Okay? If you actually look at his ministry, he went traveling from town to town, and he was meeting people where they were. If you look at John 4, this is where he meets the Samaritan woman. Okay? This is where he met her. Where did he meet her? He met her outside of town at the well. He met her out there. He found her in a low place. Okay? Her life decisions, her mistakes had got her to a point where she was shunned by her community. Okay, so now she is going at the hottest point of the day, and she is going out there to get water because no one else will be there. No one will be there to shun her. She knew that no one else would be around, so she could go there in peace and get what she needed. But she, even in the midst of that, getting what she needed, she was still in a low place. That is not the type of person that you're going to expect to walk through that door. This is a person that is avoiding everyone else because they're afraid of being judged by church people. Not you Christians. I'm talking about church people. She's afraid of being judged and chastised. So she's going out there all by herself. And that is where Jesus finds her. That is where he went to find her specifically. Jesus didn't do anything by happenstance. He knew what he had planned all along. He went there just to find her so he could minister to her at a very low place. The lowest of lows for her. He ministered to her at that low place and uplifted her spirit and got her to be saved. And then when she got saved, the whole town got ministered to. That is the type of ministry that we are supposed to have. We are supposed to go. Find them where they are, in that low place. You don't have to have the perfect words. Sometimes there's, as Pastor tells me all the time, sometimes there's just a ministry of presence. Are you willing to just go where they are? Tell them that you care and then share the name of Jesus with them. It's up to them what happens. Maybe it doesn't work the first time, but that does not mean you stop and move on. That's just one time. Lord, if the God had given up on me after just one time, I wouldn't be standing here today. This is a ministry of ongoing stuff. We're supposed to keep going and keep going. The next word I want to emphasize is make. It says we are to go and make disciples. It says, therefore, go and make disciples right there. That word make comes from the Greek. I'm horrible at pronouncing these things. I'm sorry, but it sounds like mathetuo, which means to teach, to instruct. We are to make. That means we are to teach and instruct people so that they will know how to grow in the Lord. It is fantastic if we can get them to come through the door. But you cannot assume that just walking through the door and sitting down in a chair will get you into heaven. It truly takes having a relationship with him. And praise God that we can get that relationship. But in order to maintain that relationship, they have to be discipled. Therefore, we have to make disciples. Consider how Jesus made disciples. He first went out and found them. He went to where they were and said, "Come follow me. I'll make you fishers of men." Then they proceeded to walk with him for years as Jesus showed them who he was. Every single day that Jesus was with them, he was giving them Jesus, literally. He was showing them who he was. He did not just share the gospel with them, and I'm not saying this is wrong. He did not just share the gospel with them, and as soon as they got saved, he didn't say, "Just good luck, I'll see you later, hope it works out for you." What he did is he led them every single day, helping them, ministering to them, uplifting them, Lord, restoring them when Peter messed up. healing along the way. He did all of this to show them what it would look like. He invested time and energy into them. This is the big one here. He invested time and energy. This is what people don't want to do these days. We are all very jealous of our time and our energy. We do not like to share it at all. He invested time and energy showing them what it meant to have a relationship. Now see, go, as I stated earlier, the word go will take you outside of your comfort zone and put you where you probably don't want to be. Make will keep you there, costing you time and energy for a season. But the reward for that, the reward for giving that time and that energy should be, if you're doing it the proper way, it should be, if you spend 2 or 3 years with that person, continually pouring into them and giving them Jesus and giving them Jesus and loving them even when they screw up and trip and go back and you keep bringing them with you, that relationship, what it should look like is a soul set on fire like yours that is so set on fire that they are now going to go and do the same. They are going to go and they are going to find and they are going to get a hold of people. And then now they are going to, now that they have been discipled, they are now going to turn from the Paul into the Timothy, and now so on, and perpetuates the relationship and grows and grows and grows. What that's called is multiplying the church. That's what we're supposed to look like. That is what we're supposed to do. Who is it that we're supposed to go out there and get? The word says all. Verse 19, it says all. We are to go and reach all the world, not just the people that we are comfortable with. This is a big one. It's not just the people that we are comfortable talking to. Again, God will get you outside of your comfort zone. Can I go ahead and tell y'all, I'm preaching to myself before you. I'm the biggest introvert when it comes to stuff like this. I get so nervous. I don't want to do it. But yet we are called to go and to make disciples of everybody. If you know anything about Paul's conversion, I'll give you a rough paraphrase of it all. Paul, who was Saul, was going around. His whole mission at that time was to persecute Christians. His whole goal was to arrest Christians, put them in jail, and have them killed because he didn't like how they were affecting his religion. So his whole goal was to go and to find people. And if you read anything about him on the road to Damascus, he is on his way to go get more Christians and ruin their lives. And on the road to Damascus, he has an encounter with the Lord, where God calls out to him and basically says, Saul, Saul, why are you doing this? Why are you persecuting me? Why are you coming after my people? And he says, who are you, Lord? And he says, I'm Jesus. I am the Lord. And it changed Paul's life. He got saved in that moment. He got saved because he had an encounter with the Lord. But if you know anything about the story, not only did he encounter the Lord, he ended up blind. He ended up blind and he had to go. The guys who were with him took him into town and he was just sitting there waiting for 3 days. Paul was sitting there. He neither ate nor drank. He just sat there waiting and praying. And this is where God calls someone else in to help. In Acts 9, verse 10, it says, now there was a believer in Damascus named Ananias. The Lord spoke to him in a vision calling, Ananias. Yes, Lord, he replied. The Lord said, go over to Straight Street to the house of Judas when you get there, ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul. He is praying to me right now. I have shown him a vision of a man named Ananias coming in and laying hands on him so he can see again. But Lord, exclaimed Ananias, I have heard many people talk about the terrible things this man has done to the believers in Jerusalem. And he is authorized by the leading priest to arrest and kill everyone who calls upon your name. But the Lord said, go, for Saul is my chosen instrument to take my message to the Gentiles, to the kings, as well as to the people of Israel. You think Ananias wanted to go talk to him? Ananias, God calls him to go and to pray for Saul, Paul, whatever you want to call him this moment, to pray for him that he could regain his sight. But Ananias is a human. He may be a believer, but he's human, because the first thing he did was speak out of his flesh and say, God, do you know what this guy has done? Do you know who you're talking about right here? Do you know what he's done? This is like the moment where he is questioning God, like, are you for real? This is what you want me to do? That's crazy. But God stepped in and he set him straight. And he told him, Ananias, go and pray for this man, because he is my chosen instrument. That person that you may be being called to go and to minister to, you could probably give a laundry list of what they've done and why you shouldn't. But how do you know that that person is not God's chosen instrument to go and do something amazing? How are we to cast judgment when we were once sinners? He went and he prayed for Paul. Paul regained his sight. And Lord, did he get on fire. And he went out there and he helped to write a bunch of the New Testament, plant churches all over the place to grow the church with the capital C. He went out there and ministered to all of them. We are called to reach all, not just the ones that look like us, the ones that we're comfortable talking to, but everyone, the lost, the sinful, the angry, the broken, and everyone that is in need. That is who we are supposed to be going out there, finding, giving them Jesus, discipling them, bringing them back in here, keeping them here, and uplifting them, and sending them out so they can go and do the same. We're ministering to them and building them up to where they can be baptized as a public demonstration of their faith to show more. That's why I love Baptism Sundays, because you'll see, I love it when you can get a child up there. If you can get a child that's got their souls on fire for the Lord and they've given their heart to the Lord, and all of a sudden you can barely see their head over the top of that, you might not be able to see their full body, but I can promise you, you'll see 20 people sitting right here, because everybody wants to see little Timmy getting baptized. And you know what they're also seeing that day? They're also going to be given the gospel message. They're given all these different ways. That baptism is an important step for not only their faith, but demonstrating it to others and pull more people in. Going on into the scripture, another word, it says to teach. It says to teach them to obey all the commands I have given you. This goes back to last Sunday. If we're supposed to be giving them and teaching them what has been given to us, that means that we have to be anchored into the Word. In order to teach something, you actually have to know it. Otherwise, you're just spouting off nonsense. I've done it. You have to know it in order to teach them. In order to teach them, you have to dive into your Word. This is not a one-time thing, but an everyday type of lifestyle of getting into your Word. It doesn't matter how many times you have read the Bible. You could have read all the way through the Bible 100 times. It doesn't matter. The Bible is alive. Therefore, every time you open it and actually dive into it, not just skim it, but dive into it, you will learn something new, something that the people around you need. Not only do you need it, but you need to give it to other people. We are told to teach from it. We are told to give it to other people, instructing them what it truly means to follow after the Lord. Pastor Kevin, if you'll come on up. In the early church, they understood that this was something important to minister, to uplift, to help each other. If you go through, we're a Pentecostal church. If you go through Acts 2 and you see where the Holy Spirit fell and ministered to them that were in the upper room, well, it didn't stay in the upper room. It filled up so much that it spilled out onto the streets. And Peter gave a simple message that day, and 3,000 people got saved because he just simply spoke the name of Jesus and told them who he was. And because of the power and conviction of the Holy Spirit moving through Peter's mouth, 3,000 people got saved. But the early church did not stop there in Acts 2. If you actually go to the end of Acts 2, picking up in verse 42, it says, all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and sharing in meals. Praise God for next Sunday night. We're going to share in some meals, okay? Including the Lord's Supper and to prayer. And a deep sense of awe came over them all. And the apostles performed many miracles, signs, and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property, possessions, and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together in the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day,
the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. That's what it's supposed to look like. That's what it means to be anchored to the Great Commission. We come in here, we uplift each other, we minister to each other, but we're going out there and getting those who need to be saved and bringing them in. Not so our church can look good, not so we can just fill every seat, not so that when that new building is built, we can fill every seat. Praise God, I hope we do. But it's not a bragging competition. Pastor Jeff does not get an extra jewel in his crown because he had more people in the congregation than the guy down the road. This is about getting God's people into his kingdom, reaching the lost, building them up, and then sending them out. Yes. Pastor, you say, I'm not comfortable speaking to people. Me too. Moses wasn't comfortable when God told him he had to go speak to Pharaoh. He tried to give all the excuses as to why he shouldn't be the one going and talking. But God reminded him who he was and what Moses would be capable through him. That same God in verse 20 says, "And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." You may not be qualified. You're probably not qualified, but you're called. In fact, commissioned. Commissioned means to be given an order, to be given a command. He told us this, literally a command from Jesus: go make disciples of all nations, teaching them of his commands and how to follow them. This is not an MOFPHC thing. This is a every Christian type of thing. But our philosophy again here is to seek the lost, serve the suffering, and share life together with them as we grow spiritually. If you would stand with me. We have been given a command from the Lord as to how we're supposed to live and how we're supposed to follow him. But in order to do that, we actually have to be anchored to him. Again, this goes back to what Pastor Jeff talked about in week one. We have to be anchored to Jesus. And in order to be anchored to him, that means he has to be our Lord and our Savior. See, this Jesus, for those of you who have not heard, which all of you I'm sure have heard at some point, this Jesus paved the way for us, where it's not about specific actions, it's not about giving a certain amount to get your way into heaven, it's none of those things. Because of the death that he gave us on that cross, because of his resurrection from that tomb, he has paved the way where now it is only about relationship with him. That is what anchors us to him. Romans 10:9, I've said it 1,000 times. Romans 10:9, if we confess with our mouth and believe with our hearts that Jesus is Lord, then we can be saved. So if you've not called on him and asked him to come into your heart and be Lord of your life, or maybe you've done it once before and in the past and now it's slipped and you want to make it right again, this is the moment to do that. If every head bowed, every eye closed, nobody looking around, nobody playing around. If that's you today, and you were to say, I want to get my relationship with Jesus to where it is supposed to be, I want to be anchored with him, just ask that you would just raise your hand and just signify that so we can pray for you properly. Thank you for that hand. Thank you for that hand. Father, you see the hearts right now of those who have raised their hand. God, I pray right now that they would call out to you, that you would speak to them and minister to them. God, your Holy Spirit's already moving and operating. We pray, God, that you would just seal the deal right now. God, that you would just let them know that all they have to do is to speak your name, to ask you into their heart and ask you to forgive them of their sins and to just be Lord of their lives, and that you will help them, that you would lead them, that you will change their lives right here and right now, and you will anchor yourself to them. And they can walk out of here differently, living differently, and at peace with you. God, we thank you for what you're doing right now. And I pray that you would speak and minister to those hearts. Don't let them leave here the way they came in, but walking out changed because of you and what you're doing. We thank you for it right now in the name of Jesus. Amen. I ask right now where you are, if you would just kind of turn that into as Pastor likes to say it all the time, turn that spot into an altar right now. I want us to pray. Pray that God would strengthen us and build us up to where we're able to go, to make, to teach, to reach all of them for him, because that is what we're supposed to do. But sometimes we don't walk out that door with confidence. So I'm praying that we do. Father, I thank you. I thank you for your word. I thank you for what you've told us to do. I thank you, Father, that even if we are not feeling confident, we can trust in you. And Father, if we're going out there with you in our hearts, filled up with your Holy Spirit, that we can just trust you to move and to say and to put us in the right timing with that person. God, we pray it, God. We pray in the name of Jesus that every person leaves this room with a word in their hearts and in their mouth, with a person on their minds right now, to be able to go and to speak to them and to share the name of Jesus and to see that they are saved, to minister to. God, if it takes more than one time, that we stay at it. And then when that person's life is changed, that we don't just leave them there, but that we continue to disciple them, that we are willing to give the time and the energy needed to build them up. God, help us to be that church that goes, that makes, that reaches everyone, and that teaches them what your word says. God, help us right now. God, we pray over our people. We pray for a hedge of protection as they're leaving here. Because God, as we try to grow closer to you, the enemy always likes to step in and intervene and try to mess that up. God, we speak against that right now in the name of Jesus, that you would save your people, protect them, that you would minister to them, that you would lift them up in the low places and remind them that you've got them, that we would be at peace with you to be able to go and to speak your name. God, we thank you for it all right now in the name of Jesus. Amen.